Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Join award-winning author and founder of the Regenetics Method, Sol Luckman, as he shares with us the secrets to conscious healing. In this episode, Sol explains how we are currently moving into the third era of medicine, how to change our bioenergy blueprint to heal, and the power of subtle energy fields of sound and light to potentiate our DNA. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast. And we continue on with our series on energy, frequency, vibration, magnetics, the next era of healthcare. And today we're bringing Sol Luckman. And Sol is a longtime researcher of shamanism and spirituality. Sol is an iconoclastic psychonaut devoted to exploring and exposing the truth about human history and potential. Sol is the critically acclaimed author of several books, including Conscious Healing and Potentiate Your DNA, where he examines the critical role played by DNA and consciousness in healing and transformation. He is also the founder of his own unique form of sound healing called the Regenetics Method. His new novel, Kali the Destroyer, was the finalist in both the New Age and Visionary categories of the 2021 International Book Awards. Sol, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. I've enjoyed chatting a little bit already, so I feel warmed up.
That's awesome. Well, we've had actually a blast with this series so far. Everybody we've gotten to speak with has just been a wonderful conversation. And even already, it feels like we meet our long lost brothers and sisters in a lot of ways. So it's great to actually get to connect with you, Sol.
Likewise, I kind of feel like we're all in some kind of strange COVID resistance college. Where, you know, one of these days we'll have a reunion and we'll look back on what we did to defeat the bad guys and move forward.
That's definitely what it feels like.
Yeah, totally does. I think that's why everybody connects so fast. But I look forward to that reunion. So we'll figure out a really fun place where we can all get together with our kids. So
yeah, so Mexico would be good.
There we go. We'll find a spot for us. So when Sol sent me this book, Conscious Healing, this was fascinating. And I read that and then I started to go through the Potentiate Your DNA. So one of the things I love about the book that you did is you did a phenomenal job with juxtaposing the science as well as the art, or I would say like the intuitive metaphysical aspects of health in order to really bring support to the theories and the different concepts that you talk about in the book.
Yeah, thanks. I've sometimes quipped that the book could have been called Textual Healing. You know, I'm really trying to bridge art and science or spirituality and more left brain concepts.
Yeah, I think it's actually essential because the science, I mean, and I've been in this world for a while, and I mean, I've interviewed people specifically that know how to evaluate science and have seen how deceptive science can be. And so there's an aspect of science that's incredibly valuable, but I think you still need to bridge it with this other part. And when you bring in the metaphysical part of it, and even I would put in like eclectic knowledge and indigenous information, clinical experience, all of these different things, it really adds flavor and texture to the whole conversation. So, you know, I tried to do a similar thing when I did the science, mysticism, and beyond. We tried to bring in scientists and we tried to bring in clairvoyance and we tried to bring in shamans and basically just bring in different perspectives, because you actually find a lot of people saying the same type of message, but just using very different ways of doing it.
Well, that was what I concluded exactly over the course of my research and the development of this work. This notion that there are these universal truths that have to do with the nature of reality and our relationship to it. And people have described that variously over the millennia, but they're getting at the same thing. For example, you read a book like Jeremy Nardi's The Cosmic Serpent, and he's describing these ayahuasca shamans in the Amazon who are seeing serpents in their visions, and Narbi realizes they're actually seeing and communicating with DNA. Yet this technology, and I use that in quotes, this ancient technology came about long before the modern discovery of DNA. I believe that civilization goes back well beyond what's been recorded, and that there were prior eras where people would have known very much what DNA is and what it does. But for the purposes of having a more mainstream viewpoint here, we can just say these shamans 1,000 years ago in this lineage were doing this, seeing DNA, interacting with it, and creating a language that they understood and that their people could understand. And that had to do with snakes and serpents.
Hmm. Well, and then, you know, we talked to Dr. Todd Ovocatus a while back, and we've had him on several times because I just love him. We just think he's amazing. And so well informed and so bridges the two different worlds of science and spirituality. But he came to the same awareness too. And he had an experience where he actually communicated with the consciousness of DNA. And that's what opened up the door for him to even create what's now known as pineal tones. So it's all really fascinating. I think there's this, what's coming up right now, which I find really, really important and really fascinating, is just all of this information that's surfacing around DNA that's been going on, I think, for a long time. I mean, you pull up research from quite a while back, but I feel like it's really coming to the forefront right now. And it seems like we're at a place in consciousness right now in humanity where this is a big deal. There's a lot going on around this.
Absolutely. For me, it's where the rubber meets the road. It's where you can create really meaningful change and healing. Is by interacting with DNA, and that can be done using consciousness and energy and not necessarily through gene splicing or other DNA altering technologies like certain jabs these days.
Yeah, I think it's really fascinating. And it's, you know, it's the other day we were talking to RJ Spina and in an episode around this, and he was talking about, which ties into some of the information you mentioned in your book too, but was basically saying that source directly connects with DNA and RNA and provides information for it. And I just said, there's something about that just feels so settling to know that I can have a connection with source and that information can actually influence and speak with my own DNA rather than it coming from outside sources.
Yeah, I agree with that. For me, you have to define what source is. I see source, when people use that term, I think sometimes they mean one thing and sometimes they mean another thing. I believe that we live in a reciprocal reality that was described very well by Dewey Larson in his reciprocal theory. It was a physical system of a reciprocal system of physical theory, I think was the name of his whole spiel. And we live in space-time, and there's an energetic obverse reality called time-space. And we receive information constantly from time-space. We're totally, constantly in dialogue with it. And some people would describe that as source, but there's also a greater consciousness that is outside of both of those that informs both space-time and time-space. And that is source with a capital S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say we're probably talking about the same thing, just maybe different terminology. And part of that you'll hear even throughout this entire series, you'll hear people using sometimes different language, but often we're still talking about something fairly similar.
This is
a good time, Sol, to maybe break down a few terminology for people that I think are important to talk about. So some of the ones I'd like to break down would be what the meaning is, or what your perception of things like energy, frequency, vibration, light, consciousness, enlightenment. I know that could probably be a conversation all on its own, but maybe I'll pass them back to you to just give a bit of an overview of those different concepts. Maybe starting with energy, then frequency, then vibration.
Yeah, you know, I don't really separate them that much. I think that on that frequency, energy, vibration, depending on where you catch them in their circuit, that it's all part of the same phenomenon. Mm-hmm. So as we're interacting with time space, you might have something that starts out as like a torsion energy that enters our realm and it becomes an electromagnetic energy as it passes through DNA. And then as it interfaces with our molecular structure, you get vibration. But then our molecular structure goes right back around the circle and ends up tracking back into time space because we're reciprocally related to it. So the physical becomes energetic and the energetic becomes physical. It is the helix of our reality, if you will. And if you just twist it, that is our infinity circuit in a sense. It's the number eight. And it's just how we work. But again, informing all of that would be a larger source with a capital S, where things like energy, vibration, and frequency actually don't exist. It's what gives rise to all of those things. So that would be God or the center of the galaxy or the creator, whatever you want to call it. So what this means is that everything starts out, you know, as some kind of energetic reality, and then it passes through our DNA, which is all the DNA itself emerges from that energetic reality. So the DNA starts out as an energy, and then it becomes some type of frequency, like an electromagnetic event and or signal, because DNA is an antenna. And then that translates into vibration. And then what you end up with in measurable science would be your electromagnetic energy body, right? That's constantly communicating between the cells and telling organs what to do, systems what to do, much faster than we could possibly explain through biochemical processes. Mm-hmm. And yet that's not to be confused with the bioenergy blueprint, which is the pure energy blueprint that is in time space in our reciprocal reality, which is really what's causing the shots. So if you want to create changes here that are permanent, it's my observation and opinion that you need to go over and change the blueprint in time space. So when you do that, then the energy from time space will flow naturally as it does into space time and create permanent changes.
So when you talk about the blueprint in time space, from a practical point of view, then what does that mean for people when we talk about changing that blueprint?
Well, in both books, I provide schematics of our energy structure. And that is a map of the blueprint, because the blueprint is divided into a number of fields. As that manifests into our energy interface with time space, it becomes chakras and fields of sound, which are called auric fields. So there's your sound and light. And that's a 9-field structure to start with. It can be modified to an 8-field structure, which happens during the regenetics process. So you start out with your bioenergy blueprint that then governs the activity, the electromagnetic activity of the energy body in space time. Okay. So when you see pictures like this huge toroidal structure of the heart energy putting out massive wings, that's almost angelic. Those images are so beautiful of energy, heart math research and all of that. Really, that's part of the energy body here in space time, but it's governed by the bioenergy blueprint in time space. Now, here's a real mind blower for you. Because they're reciprocally related, that means that a version of ourselves is over in time space experiencing reality, and everything gets reversed. So that our energy body here becomes their blueprint.
When you start to really open up the door into thinking along these lines, it really does flip almost everything upside down a little bit.
Oh, it is a trip. I wrote about this subject, this doppelganger twinning subject is the backbone of my last novel, Snooze, A Story of Awakening. And it's about this kid who his mother dies in childbirth. He's born with a call. and he's super gifted, and he's able to travel into time space and change reality by doing so.
It's kind of fascinating, because as much as this stuff seems kind of hard to wrap your head around in a conversation like this, it's like, go and watch a lot of look at a lot of the superhero movies that come out now. It's like, these are common concepts in a lot of those movies.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
They're accepted because in those venues, they're considered to be fictional. But we know that the powers that be, that soon may not be, let's hope, are always sending signals through. It's hiding things in plain sight. It's putting out information for plausible deniability. It's putting out information to create these kind of fake contracts through our quote unquote consent that we never really gave. And so they're obligated in some sense to tell the truth, even in a twisted fashion. And I believe they believe that this will allow them to escape karmic repercussions for their actions. And I think they're wrong.
Well, and when you become aware of it, you actually start to see it everywhere.
Oh, yes, it's everywhere in every discipline, every single discipline.
And this is something that I've heard of quite a few times, especially these past, I would say, year and a half to 2 years, since we've been more open to it and we've been looking at it, is what you just said with regards to these forces do need to have our permission. And so one way this is even granted is, you know, having it within movies or in shows or in programs. And this hasn't been in an accident. It has all been intentional, as far as almost as if by them exposing themselves in that way, there is permission granted on our part, though not directly, but in a sense, if we're watching it and if we're cheering it on and if we're being exposed to the agendas and the plans, that has been, just as you described, a way for them to execute their plans.
Yeah, it's almost like silence is consent.
Right.
You know, if we don't object, if we don't stand up, then we deserve what we get. And there is actually some truth to that that people need to ponder. We need massive civil disobedience across the entire world.
Yeah, that's kind of where we are right now. It's, you know, we've talked about this before, that if you are acting in ways that are in misalignment with what your gut instincts and heart wisdom tell you, we need to be able to stop and rethink that and get back in alignment and act from those places.
Yeah, I like that word, alignment. That feels right. That's a really good way of putting it.
Well, and from another level of that, I find like that's ultimately at the heart of almost all disease too. I think that when people are acting out of alignment, it's this disconnect. This is this brain or mind-body disconnect that we talk about in many ways. I think we are living in a way that is out of alignment with the core of who we are, with the connection, like I said, to gut wisdom, our gut instincts and heart wisdom. However we want to articulate that and whatever words we want to use, but when we are functioning in our lives
in that disconnect, I just think that is going to breed disharmony in the body.
Yes, disease.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's an easy one to actually see if you can get back in the body and connect with feeling, sense, and what's going on in your body and approach it with a willingness and an honesty to be able to look at it.
Yeah, I would say that that out of body experience is what most people are having. They just don't know it.
A whole different twist on that. Exactly. So I want to go back to the DNA, because one of the things that you mentioned specifically was around DNA being an antenna. There's an electromagnetic field connected to DNA. I'm thinking maybe we can talk about that a little bit, because from most people's perspective, DNA is this little thing in the body that kind of sets the stage for our genetics. And that's kind of what it does. You know, we've been told 95% of our DNA is more or less junk DNA, and about 5% is what we use. Can you talk a little bit around that concept with DNA, even from the junk DNA, what that actually is potentially, how DNA acts like an antenna, and what it means to even have an electromagnetic field connected with DNA and how that influences us?
Yeah, those are great questions. The first thing I would say is that ever since the advent of epigenetics, the work of Bruce Lipton and some other really, really brilliant people, Elizabeth Sartoris comes to mind, a fantastic mind. Basically, the top-down model of the brain being in the nucleus, this idea that DNA is controls our destiny, genes is destiny, all of these related concepts have pretty much been shown to be bunk. And more scientists are admitting this. They're also finding all kinds of activity in this junk DNA that they are having a difficult time explaining, like why is it doing the things that it is doing, even though it's not coding in the way that a certain small percentage of our DNA is. And, you know, I've seen numbers range from 2 to 5% in terms of, you know, what you're looking at in terms of coding DNA, the things that actually build proteins and all of that. So in epigenetics, it's very clear that the brain is actually in the cell membrane. So that's a good mnemonic. And so it's these proteins that are in the cell membrane, and these proteins react with the environment. And that includes the electromagnetic environment. So, you know, things like these cell towers are very troubling from an epigenetic perspective, because they could have a very deleterious effect, just as positive energy can have an extremely healthful impact. So the science of epigenetics is really the science of the way in which the environment interacts with our genetics, and in order to create positive and negative genetic changes. So a beautiful song and in a healthy key, and there's a whole discussion we could have about music, but a beautiful tune might cause some of your genes that don't need to be on to switch off. And maybe those are the cancer-causing genes. And then this has nothing to do with your DNA, really. It has to do with the environment. Now, the DNA ultimately is instructed what to do by the brain in the membrane. But the interaction is an environmental interaction. Now, this is the science of epigenetics. Now, I explored something that I believe is beyond epigenetics, and I called it metagenetics. Now, I'd like to just backtrack half a second and talk about three eras of medicine. We can look at this from a sort of a historical perspective. And this is, I've got a shout out to Dr. Larry Dossey. He wrote several books that I absolutely love about the power of prayer and sound and words to heal people. One of them was called Healing Words, I believe. He outlined three eras in medicine that this model goes so far towards explaining what we've seen, what we're seeing, and what we're about to see. He started with era one. He called it, it was basically the era of traditional allopathic medicine, the medicine that sees the body as a machine, a mechanism, something, you know, that you can cut and slash and burn and cure that way. So you you can just think about all of the medical quote unquote treatments that have emerged from that way of looking at the human being. It's basically a meat sack. Era two is where you go from the kind of genetic model and the physical model into, and I did some things here to elaborate on Dossey's model, but you go from era one to era two, and in era two, you go into mind-body. And it's the relationship between our mental state, our thoughts, and our bodily experience. This is also the era of epigenetics. And I would say it's the era of light, where light is examined for healing purposes. And light is sort of a quintessential electromagnetic frequency. And it's visible and it's very there in a way that maybe other things aren't as there. For sound is more esoteric in some ways. If you can't see it, it's a little closer to being an etheric energy. When you move into era three, I called it metagenetics. And it's non-local medicine, medicine that transcends your local experience. It transcends your own thoughts, your own power of positive thinking and all of that, and gets into your relationship with source, with inspiration. I included in this era three, the notion of the power of positive feeling, where the body is actually actualized in a certain way. And this goes right down into the DNA to generate extraordinary healing and transformational potential. Now, the idea behind metagenetics is that you can utilize energy and specifically the energy of sound going beyond light to stimulate the DNA, which is an antenna that is constantly receiving and emitting sound and light signals. It stimulates the DNA when you use sound in a certain way, when it's linguistically encoded in a certain way. And you can look up the science of wave genetics and Vladimir Paponin and Peter Gurayev and other people who have done work in this area. When you stimulate DNA using sound that's linguistically encoded, you can change the blueprint over in time space. You can change it so dramatically that you can actually alter species in utero or in the cells before they're hatched or born. So that's pretty wild. In some of these experiments, you had like a salamander embryo that was exposed to these linguistically encoded sound frequencies, and out pops a frog when the egg hatches.
Yeah, I was reading some of those studies too, Sol, and it's fascinating. I mean, it's actually amazing. And this idea of this blueprint, I mean, I totally agree with you. I think this is definitely where we're moving, is this third era. You know, there was definitely a big push on mind-body, and mind-body is still really important, but it, like you said, it goes beyond that. And I think particularly when you said there's definitely got to be a movement from positive thinking to positive feeling, it's really an embodiment of things as opposed to a thinking construct. We need to get back in the body in a very significant way, which I think connects with the feelings, like you said, inspiration, connection to source, and literally feeling it in the body. Everything changes when you actually feel it. You know, otherwise, I think it actually potentiates the disconnect that's going on when we're trying to think something, but we're not honoring what the body's actually feeling. I actually think a lot of times it creates more ill health and sticks us almost into some of the patterns that we're in because we're not actually being authentic within ourselves.
Yeah, that resonates with me. It's really strange that era one has this medicine that's all about the body, but that is where people are most disconnected from their body. And that's where they have, that was the advent of the cancer epidemic. That was the advent of autoimmune illnesses. That was when it all exploded. And of course, there were many other factors besides just that disconnect going on, all of the medical procedures and, you know, the multiplying jabs from birth forward. You know, we could talk about dental mercury and all kinds of things that were very problematic. So if you can just follow this line of thinking with me for just a second, you start out totally disconnected. And then the first step back into your body is to think about the connection between your mind and your body, your energy field, but you're not really there yet. You're still, it's like training wheels for moving into your body fully. And when you move into your body and you really start to feel it, miracles can happen, absolute miracles. And not just miracles in terms of health, but miracles in terms of your life path, your career opportunities, openings that's in impossible situations that seem just like they should never have happened, yet they did.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, and you open yourself up to information coming in a different way. It doesn't have to be this thinking linear fashion that we've grown accustomed to. It can be information that comes in multidimensional ways and insights and knowings that are completely different process than going through the thinking mind. So you allow yourself to open into a field where information can arrive in a very different way for you.
Oh, that's really true. I was watching, rewatching the Half-Blood Prince recently, the Harry Potter. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. Did you ever watch that one?
I was, when those came out, I was a big fan of the, I hammered through those books and then watched the movies. Yeah, I always enjoy watching all of those.
So there is a part of that movie that is a very good example of what we're discussing here, where Harry finally takes the good luck potion, right? And he's going to try to get this professor to divulge the information that he has about the Dark Lord that's really important for them to be able to defeat him. And Harry and his friends, Hermione and Ron, had planned to do it in a certain way, and they had it all laid out. And Harry instead takes off down to his friend Hagrid's hut, and they're like, "Where are you going? What are you doing? We have a plan." He's like, Don't worry about it. I just feel that's the right place to be." And he goes and it works out and it happens.
Yeah.
You know, during even many of our discussions in the Science, Mysticism, and Beyond series, was what was reiterated over and over again is that this time that we're currently in, this time that has been prophesized by many ancient cultures and the indigenous, there's actually this heightened awareness that we are all now blessed with, where we have much greater sensitivity to actually what's going on around us. And that's not an accident. So things that we might have not thought too much about, we're now being deeply affected by. And, you know, I'm thinking of certain things that kind of stick out in my memory these past few years, like cell towers in our kids' schoolyard, or as far as the excess of sugars or ingredients that we can't even read on the back of our, you know, the processed foods that we commonly buy and oftentimes eat ourselves and pass on to our children, or just a lot of things that we could have, you know, shrug our shoulders or thought not a big deal, but we're noticing more on an intuitive level that, hey, that there's something wrong with that, or that's not right, or why is that happening? Or why is it, why are things set up that way? And I think these are all, even when you're speaking of music, like I know personally, I haven't been able to listen to music on mainstream music for a very long time now. And even now where we are currently in Mexico, we're kind of in Party Central, and Saturday nights in particularly.
That's a lot of boom chicka boom chicka boom chicka.
Yeah, and it
sounds like Playa del Carmen to me.
Yeah, and it's really jarring for the nervous system, and I think what it brings to light is that what we are currently and have been for a long time surrounded by and inundated with is just not for the good of humanity.
Yeah, I agree, Matt. Not at all. I mean, it's a kind of minefield. I mean, everything out there is somehow designed to harm us, either physically or emotionally, intellectually. We're dumbed down in our curricula. We're, you know, like you said, we're getting all of this crap in our foods. Our music is not in any way uplifting. The really funny thing that I'm seeing right now is of all people to kind of burst the dam of this mainstream celebrity denial of the genocide that's happening was Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
And now you have all these NBA players coming out and saying they're not, you know, they're not getting the jab, and it's beginning to cascade. And I think this is just the beginning of that process where, like you were saying at the beginning of what you had to say a moment ago, Taya, this idea that there's a higher, I don't know, a greater frequency or more availability of information for people to tune into. These people are starting to tune into it. And when enough of them do with their followings, I think the deep state has one of two choices. I mean, either they can completely shut down the internet or they can be destroyed.
Yeah. So what's the date today that we're recording this? I think it's October
4th.
And just today, we were talking about this briefly before we started recording. Just today, Facebook went down, Instagram went down, WhatsApp went down. And I'm not sure what else you're seeing, Sol, but I know those three, we were able
like
to
all over the world
confirm yeah. that. Yeah, lots of our contacts around the world have confirmed that those three have gone down.
Yeah, I was mentioning the Zero Hedge article, which was really fascinating. The headline is for this phenomenon that you're discussing: Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp down worldwide after DNS records vanish. Employees' badges reportedly not working, and the little tagline is "One day ahead of whistleblower testimony." So yeah, what's going on with that?
Yeah, really. Who needs to watch movies when we live real life reality in 2021?
Yeah, I'm living on popcorn these days, pretty much.
So when you were getting back to, well, I want to touch one more thing back about the blueprint, because this idea was even, I remember listening to like Rupert Sheldrake long time back. And he would talk about morphogenic fields. In a lot of ways, I think about these morphogenic fields as being the blueprint to the cell. So, which supersedes the physical that we tend to, in mainstream medicine, we tend to just address that physical primarily. But this is sort of the field above that, where all of these different things actually affect the blueprint of the cell. So if that is out of balance, if that blueprint is faulty, you will keep constructing the same physical cell over and over and over again until that blueprint gets corrected or optimized or upgraded or whatever it is, then you will start to have a different physical reality. And so that can tie into lots of things. That can tie into directly like mental emotions. It ties into with the systems of the vital body, like the chakra system and the acupuncture meridians and all of these different pieces too. A lot of which you go into great detail with in your book as well, when you start to break down the different fields. But I think what's important to remember is these different fields, and this goes back into lots of stuff tied around Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese medicine. It's like these different areas relate to a much broader concept of health. They tie in different organ systems that are related to them, that ties in different emotions that are related to them and different ways of thinking. And it goes well beyond just looking at things from just a purely physical way.
Yeah, it's all holographic too. You know, I mean, there's a Japanese system of acupuncture where they only work in the ear. And so that is a tiny microcosm of the rest of the body. And so it's really amazing to think that all of these acupuncture points, the meridians, the nadis in the Vedic tradition, the chakras, the auric fields, they're all parts of the energy apparatus. They're either in the electromagnetic realm, if they can be measured, and chakras actually have been measured. Motoyama's work shows that they've actually been measured, or they're solidly over in not so solidly over in the etheric realm of time space. Sheldrake is spot on. In fact, when you read Sheldrake, or at least people commenting on Sheldrake's work, I would have to verify if he uses this terminology in his books. It's been a while since I've read them, but there's two words. One is morphic and the other one is morphogenic. And it strikes me that morphogenic is a word that is applied to biological organisms and to their bioenergy blueprint in time space. Now, that's not exactly how he would say it, but I believe he's talking about exactly that phenomenon that I was discussing earlier. But other things have their own fields too. Rocks, cars, houses, everything has a morphic field. It has a blueprint because we live in a holographic reality. So there is an actual projector of this reality, and it is in time space. So all of these morphic and morphogenic fields are constantly projecting what we perceive as reality. But really, it's all a big hologram.
This reminds me of actually a story that Greg Braden spoke about during one of the retreats that we attended a few years ago, where if you're a vegetarian or a vegan and you're sensitive to this information that might come out in a moment, please maybe mute this part. But he was actually talking about within the shamanic community, when somebody is quite ill, they go to the main shaman within that community, and the shaman actually brings in a guinea pig, and they place the guinea pig on the body of the individual who is really sick. And what they actually do is they run the guinea pig up and down the body, and within this ritual or prayer or ceremony, and afterward, they actually tear apart the guinea pig, and inside the body of the guinea pig will be exposed the part within the human body that is ill and needing the attention. Do you remember Greg Braden speaking of that?
Yeah. I've actually heard of something similar to that. I wonder if it's the same tradition. That's interesting. It's fascinating. And it would work based on the principles that we've been talking about.
Right.
Well, a lot of the principles that we're talking about are in some way used in a lot of those types of traditions for a long time. I think we're just getting to a place where we can explain them in a way that, or validate them in a way that that the mind likes to understand them.
I think we're learning to see through our education.
Yeah. I think a lot of us have gone through enough of the conventional medicine and wholeheartedly disappointed in lots of ways. And now we're looking for other avenues for true healing.
Yes. You know, I've often said that if I'm in an accident and I need emergency brain surgery, I don't want an electrician working on me. Right. I want help. But for most things, doctors are not necessary. And I'm sorry. I mean, allopathic doctors with pharmaceuticals and surgery. For most things, they simply are a relic that will go away or transform into something else.
Well, and how I think of it is ultimately, if we're living, it's almost like Tana and I were having this conversation a while back, and it's almost like where a lot of people have gotten themselves into because of such a long history of just either doing all of the things that are creating a lot of chronic illness, being exposed to certain things, eating a certain way, not managing emotions, a lot of different pieces of it. And then they're in such a deep state of chronic illness that then they almost become reliant on the pharmaceutical industry and stuff to try and give some type of relief if they get any from that. And right. can even be dangerous to take them off of things directly, right? That's not what we're advocating, because you can be in a place where then you almost have become dependent on certain things. But in a broader reality, many things are, I mean, the body is capable of restoring itself from almost everything. And like you said, for sure, if you have a car accident, then there's, thank God we've got the technology and the foresight of where medicine's gone to be able to deal with acute injuries like that. But the vast majority of chronic injuries not the forte for allopathic medicine. It's just not. Most of that stuff is very much lifestyle based. And so if we manage that kind of stuff and decrease the impact and the load on the body, to me, health and resilience is a natural part of being human.
Yes, spot on. And I think, you know, there's all of these different ways of looking at the notion of self-care, starting with what you eat. Maybe not even starting with, but for the purposes of this discussion, you know, what you put in your body, do you get rest? Do you get exercise? Do you get sunlight at the right time of day? Then beyond that, where are your thought processes? What are you doing with your mind? How are you interacting epigenetically with your environment? Especially as you get older, are you working with your neuroplasticity? Are you learning new things? Are you keeping your mind young? And then moving beyond that into the embodiment part of the discussion, how are you feeling about things? What are you doing to truly transform yourself? And are you open to greater possibilities of connection with source?
Yeah, I love it. I think that kind of encapsulates optimal healing, optimal wellness, optimal life. If you can incorporate those things, and at the forefront of that, I think there's this feeling inside of being connected. There's this feeling inside of being connected, of being inspired, and there's a constant sense of meaning. You know, your life is meaningful. And when our life is meaningful, then those are sort of natural sequelae to everything.
Yes. You know, and really the greatest remedy of them all is just very simple. Surfing. Mm. Just surf and everything will be okay.
I thought at first you said searching and I'm like, oh, like curiosity. I'm like, no, surfing. Surf. Fair enough. That'll just still everything and put you in the moment. So,
well, I say that somewhat tongue in cheek, but it's true too. There are doctors in France, for example, who prescribe surfing to patients with arthritis and all kinds of things. And the results have been wild. One of the things that surfing does is it puts you in that kid's mind where you're just very in the present. And I don't know if it makes life meaningful or meaningless in that moment, but it doesn't matter. It's just so alive, the whole experience.
Yeah, I love it. I'm going to start prescribing that. Although I got to live somewhere where I can prescribe that. So,
hey, you can work on that.
I can work on that.
So I wanted to ask you, because I know a lot of our audiences who will be watching this from YouTube are going to be asking about your eyeglasses right now. tell us about the fact that we're not able to see you directly and the fact that we have a painting of you on YouTube.
Well, I am a painter, and that is a self-portrait. So that's a piece of information. Let's see, where to start in this age where you're tracked and every time you log on, where our privacy has disappeared. You know, when I started out on this public path, you know, nearly two decades ago now, I chose to do it this way. And I'm really, really glad that I did.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. Also, I'm an author. And so there's a long tradition of being anonymous. J.D. Salinger is a good example. But really what swayed me to go in that direction was early on when Lee, my partner, and I first started sharing Regenetics with people and began training people in this work, they were treating me like I was some kind of messiah or guru. like I had some special connection and this really amazing work that was so powerful had come through me and I was out there teaching it. And I was still, you know, I still had all of my warts and all, you know, I just felt like I was just a really normal person who had gone on a really difficult path where I almost died from injuries from jabs spent a long dark period trying to get well, and I was fortunately able to do that through this work. But I did not like the feeling that this work was being made to be about me, because I felt like it was just about the work, and it should always be about the work. And Lee and I had a long discussion about this, and we looked at privacy issues because we really saw forward into where the internet was going. And we said, well, why don't we just do it this way and see how it works? And we thought, well, we can try that. And, you know, people may not like that or they may not respond to it, but let's just see how it works. And it's never really been a problem. And I'm really happy I did that, and that I can just be myself. I don't have to deal with, you know, I remember running into, this happened years ago when we were living in Taos, New Mexico. And I was in a health food store, and my son rounded a corner and just smacked into Julia Roberts. And she was a mother at the time, and she was very, very gracious and kind of sorted him out and sent him on his way or whatever. But I only knew it was her because I just did. I just looked into her face, but she was essentially incognito. She had like dreads and was in overalls. And I mean, you just would not have known who she was unless you were sort of a local and knew that she lived there and that kind of thing. And, you know, I just track this over to many conversations I've had with people who have gotten well known. And they're like, I so miss just being a nobody and being anonymous. That's the biggest thing that I miss. And I don't have to deal with that.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.